I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. Philadelphia District Attorney Seth Williams called Dr. Kermit Gosnell's West Philadelphia Abortion Clinic, the Women's Medical Society, a, quote, house of horrors after it was raided a few years ago. Dr. Gosnell has been charged with four counts of first-degree murder for allegedly killing late-term babies that were born alive and one count of third-degree murder of a patient who reportedly died after being given a powerful sedative. The seven-week trial involved gruesome evidence and testimony, much of it given by former clinic employees. The jury has been deliberating for most of the week, and this case has gotten national attention, and it's fueled both sides of the abortion debate. It's our topic for today's Radio Times. We have three guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studios. Joe Slobogin is a criminal courts reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, has been covering this case for the paper. Joe, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Pleasure, Marty.
Also with us is Carol Tracy, Executive Director of the Women's Law Project. Carol, nice to have you with us as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Also with us is Idell Finnegan, and she's Executive Director of the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Idell, nice to have you with us on Radio Times. Joe, I'm going to begin with you, and
sure.
I'm going to have you do some heavy lifting here, but I need to make sure that our listeners know when a clinic is called a house of horrors, which it was in the grand jury and also by the district attorney. What was in that house of horrors?
Well, according to the testimony in the trial, women undergoing late second trimester abortions, third trimester abortions, overdosed with medication, both to sedate them and also to put them into labor, so that some women were spontaneously aborting before they even got to the procedure room.
Unsanitary conditions.
Unsanitary conditions, blood, reusing plastic and tubing that are supposed to be one-use medical instruments, unworking life-saving devices, you name it. It's pretty grim.
And even jars of fetuses and body parts.
Dr. Gosnell had the investigators found five specimen jars with fetal feet in them. Dr. Gosnell purportedly told workers that they were for identification or for DNA testing, although none of the experts who testified said that there was any valid use for that. And apparently, Dr. Gosnell was also having a dispute with his medical waste disposal company, a billing dispute, and which is the reason he stored these 47 fetal remains in a freezer at the clinic they were found. So, it qualifies as a house of horrors in that way.
Is there any way to and this trial has been going on for 7 weeks, the jury is now deliberating, but as this evidence and testimony was given, any way to read the jurors' response to what they heard?
Well, I don't think anybody can really read a juror's response. I mean, I will say that considering what they heard and what they saw, because we all saw photographs taken in the clinic, they're a good group of poker players because they did not seem to react one way or the other on this. And the only thing I can read from their deliberations is that they're extremely methodical.
And, in fact, you're saying this could be a long deliberation as they go through the various counts. And so Dr. Gosnell is charged with four counts of first-degree murder, one count of third-degree murder, and other counts as well.
24 counts of performing abortions after 24 weeks, which is the legal limit in Pennsylvania, and 227 counts of failing to provide the 24-hour waiting period and counseling for women who were obtaining an abortion there. So it could be a long time.
Carol, let me go to you and just get your response to what was discovered at this medical center in West Philadelphia.
Well, it was a horror. It was monstrous. It was a horror. This is a man who preyed on poor and vulnerable women. I think we all know that Medicaid does not provide insurance coverage. He purportedly charged less for abortions than anyone else. And when people have cash payments of $309 a month, saving $15 or $20 or $40 on an abortion, When women know that they don't have enough money to feed their own children and they know they can't possibly have another child, he preyed on them. He preyed on them. You can't even describe his medical practices as substandard. They were barely medical practices. He flew under the radar for years and years. It was, of course, if all of these allegations are true,
of course,
it was monstrous.
I will pick up on some of the things you said. Adele, I'd like to get you in on the conversation as well. And your organization had had vigils, had prayed outside of this clinic. Did you have any idea what was going on inside?
No, we never knew what was going on inside other than what we know goes inside of every abortion facility, which is a child's life is ended and a woman is hurt by abortion. So we were not aware of how gruesome or brutal his particular clinic was. And so I think the story will probably open people's eyes to the reality of abortion and what's really happening, or that's what I hope will happen.
But do you think this clinic was an outlier, that what allegedly was taking place at Gosnell's clinic is
obviously
not just...
he is a more extreme version of what is happening, but I think the recent videos by Live Action and other reports show that he wasn't an outlier. Unfortunately, the abortion industry is unregulated, and we don't really know what's happening in all these different facilities.
Well, let me pick up on that and go back to you, Carol Tracy.
The abortion clinic is regulated. That he was not inspected, the grand jury very clearly pointed out, and I think he is on trial because he was operating illegally for all of these years. But the grand jury also very clearly talked about the legitimate providers. Providers like Planned Parenthood that provide safe, legal, that self-monitor. Our clinics, we represent freestanding clinics, and we know the Planned Parenthood clinics are regularly inspected. And many of those inspections were by the State Health Department because our clinics also have laboratory facilities. And these clinics also provide family planning services, so family planning councils monitor them. One of our clinics was inspected 5 times in 2 months recently. And certainly, since this was announced, the State Department of Health has come in even before they passed the Ambulatory Surgical Facilities Act and inspected the clinics. And nothing that approximated what went on in Gosnell exists in Planned Parenthood and NEF clinics.
I have to beg to differ on that. There are some serious violations that came up after the inspections. And I think anyone can look at them on the state reports.
That's right. They can. And you will see they don't approximate anything. None of them were illegal abortions. There were some issues about procedures. There were some issues about some
clean
of the
and
care.
Sterile instruments being kept apart or separate. So those are serious issues, and I think the abortion industry really can't be trusted to police itself, and that's part of the problem.
Well, let me say
the grand jury disagreed with you significantly, and so did Seth Williams.
Well, let me go back to you, Joe, because there are questions about how this clinic was able to operate, hadn't apparently been inspected for something like 17 years. The State Department of Health
that's correct.
Hadn't
yeah.
been there.
There were no inspectors coming through. And beyond the fact that they weren't inspected, apparently when, for example, the one young woman who had probably a third-term abortion delivered in a local hospital, the Delaware County Medical Examiner wrote to the Department of Health in Harrisburg and said, this is an illegal abortion. This is a violation of the Abortion Control Act. Never got a response. Mm.
And a physician from Children's Hospital, I believe, also had reported
right.
to the health department. Carol, what explains this, do you think? The kind of hands-off approach to this particular clinic?
Well, I think that our public policy in Pennsylvania, we have among the most restrictive laws in Pennsylvania, but these laws were designed to deny access, not to really be concerned about the health of women who were in these in getting abortion care. So I think that that's part of it. I mean, for example, the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act is part of the Crimes Code, not the Health Code. Now, that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be inspected. They were inspected, and interestingly enough, when he was inspected under Governor Casey, there were very significant violations found out. He could have been shut down 18 years ago because each inspection, there were three inspections, I believe, and each mm-hmm. one showed the same and increasing violations. Why they didn't happen, I don't know.
Well, let me get you in. Why do you think this clinic was able to sort of operate under the radar, Adele?
I mean, I think that this clinic, like many abortion facilities, because of the politics of abortion, just like the DA's report said, keep people from wanting to go in and inspect them. And I think the abortion industry, and Carol in her own piece that you have in front of you right there, specifically is against, and the abortion industry is against, some of the regulations that were passed. And the 2011 regulations that were passed were the actual recommendations of the DA's report. And this is also, I would say, the abortion industry is against the Abortion Control Act and against the 24-hour waiting period that there are 227 counts of violations of. So I think it is the abortion industry, and it is the reality of what abortion is about. It's always brutal. It's always grisly. Women are always harmed, and their child ends up dead. So it's not an easy industry. And
that's a very broad statement. Let me give Carol a chance to respond.
Abortion is one of the most common medical procedures, and it is one of the safest medical procedures when performed appropriately. According to the standards of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, these are the kinds of procedures that are followed by what the grand jury and Seth Williams repeatedly referred to as legitimate clinics. Now, are there outliers? Are there people who prey on poor people? Of course. Of course. And that's the problem. The problem is there have been so many restrictions placed in the way of obtaining safe legal abortions that Gosnell existed. Gosnell is what life was like before Roe v. Wade. Gosnell is what life will be like if Roe is overturned. Women throughout history have had abortions. They will continue to have abortions. Women have to make these decisions themselves.
Go ahead, Joe.
One of the interesting parts of jury selection was an older man who grew up in West Philadelphia, and he didn't get on the jury. But one of the things they were asking him his view on abortion, and he said, well, you know, before Roe versus Wade, we always knew somebody in the neighborhood who could help you out if you were in trouble. And I think we live in a free enterprise economy, and if there is no sort of regulation or control, the market will seek out people like Kermit Gosnell.
And we're almost up at a break here, but we're talking about someone who was allegedly performing illegal abortions when abortion is legal, Carol.
That's right. Well, he was performing abortions in the third trimester, and under Pennsylvania law, that's not permitted unless a woman's life is in danger. I mean, that's, at least these are the allegations that are made, and they certainly seem substantiated.
Hold on to that thought, only because we have to take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking about the Gosnell murder trial here in Philadelphia. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
AT&T Productions, Philadelphia's all-comedy theater company, supports WHYY. Now on stage, it's My Party, the Women in Comedy Project, a world premiere comedy written and directed by Jennifer Childs. Featuring an eclectic cast of Philadelphia actresses, It's My Party, the Women and Comedy Project dives into the many roles comedy plays in women's lives, exploring and exposing the real comedy of everyday life. Tickets and information at 1812productions.org.
I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Okay, this is the part of the membership drive when we resort to shame and guilt to make you make a pledge. We still have a ways to go to reach our overall goal in order to end this drive, which means that you have waited all week, and now it's time to become more than a listener, become a member. You know the value of this new service and all the information that you get here at WHYY because you listen. We believe you're the kind of person who supports the things that you believe in. So make a pledge right now at 1-888-345-9444. 1-800-799-4499 or pledge online at WHYY.org. It's an honor system here at WHYY, and it's worked for more than 50 years because listeners have become supporters. You decide what this is worth and then make a pledge. Your money is invested in the programs that you turn to for news, for information, comedy, entertainment. It's all here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So don't sit on the sidelines. Make a call, 1-888-345-9499. Thanks very much. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. The jury in the murder trial of the West Philadelphia abortion provider Kermit Gosnell began deliberations on Tuesday. This was after a seven-week-long trial. The horrific details from this case and the conditions at Gosnell's clinic have fueled both sides of the abortion debate around the country. We're talking with Joe Slobogin. He's a criminal courts reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Carol Tracy, executive director of the Women's Law Project, and Adele Finnegan, executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Adele, I know you wanted to say something right before the break. Go ahead.
I think that it's important to talk about what was really happening here and the fact that when Carol speaks about illegal abortion, her industry and abortion rights groups would prefer that abortion was legal until the 40th week of pregnancy. So Then the question becomes, if a child survives that abortion, will we give the child care then? At 24 weeks, most Americans believe that child should be protected in law. And when you're allowing that, you would be okay with not having
Let's find out if she would be okay or not.
The framework set up by Roe is the appropriate framework. And that framework...
It's a trimester framework.
It's a trimester framework or a viability framework.
Do you support the Abortion Control Act, though? Do you believe that Gosnell, it was okay for him to abort a child at 21 weeks, but not at 25 weeks? Like, it's a matter of inches that we're talking about.
It's a matter...
So these are children that are living, breathing
children.
Go ahead,
Carol.
It's a matter of you think a developing fetus has rights that are superior to a mother. And it is abortion and pregnancy take place inside the body of a woman. It is her choice to make those decisions. What I'm talking about is how the legal framework is set up. That legal framework, abortion care providers that are legitimate follow those frameworks. And unless a woman's life is in danger, she cannot have an abortion in Pennsylvania. That is the law. That is what Roe allowed. That is what Planned Parenthood versus Casey allowed. That's, I think, an appropriate framework. That at the point of viability, that the state has a very different interest in this.
Let me get Joe back into the conversation. I do want to actually go back to this 7-week-long trial. And a number of former employees at this clinic testified, including, a 15-year-old who was...
She was 15 when she started
when
working
When she started
there.
Working
Her
there.
Mother works there also.
And what kinds of procedures were some of these people doing?
Basically everything. Dr. Gosnell, according to the trial testimony, did not have any registered nurses, bona fide licensed doctors on board. And so every employee he brought in, according to the testimony, they were trained to do everything. They started out maybe doing ultrasounds on the pregnant women, and then they would move on to administering medication or drawing blood. And then ultimately they would come into the procedure room and start helping assist in abortions. Mm-hmm. And Ashley Baldwin, the woman we're talking about, started out 15, and she was still working there when they raided the place in February of 2010. And she testified that he told her, as he told other employees who would question whether they should be doing this because they have no training, I'm the doctor under the law you're grandfathered in.
Hmm. A woman, I think it was Linda Williams, talked about this snipping of the spines.
Right, right. And once again, it almost, from the testimony, sounds like an alternate universe in the mm-hmm. clinic. The women who work there, they seem to have very poor education. They have a lot of personal problems. Linda Williams, her husband had just been murdered. She has three children. Bipolar. She goes into Dr. Gosnell, and he not only does he hire her under the table, begins training her, but he becomes her doctor and starts giving her, you know, the medication she needs to control the mental illness. So once the people start working there, it's almost impossible to leave. And the snipping of the spine, Linda Williams said she asked about that. And he said it's routine, it's part of the procedure to ensure fetal demise, as he said it.
Again, very gruesome details of a clinic that reportedly, allegedly, Adele was operating outside the law. I mean, he is charged with criminal counts.
Sure, he was charged with criminal counts, and he did violate the law. But the business of abortion is about aborting children and ending their lives. So it is always gruesome, and it is always grisly. Women always deserve better, and we can find ways to help those women that go to a facility like that and reach out to them so they never feel like they have to choose between themselves and the life of their unborn child, which is why women go to abortion facilities. I don't think it's about choice at all. I've talked to many women who are considering abortion. They feel backed into a corner, like they have no other resources, and our job as a community is to be to give them the resources they need so they can continue their pregnancies and raise their children or make an adoption plan. That's what we should be doing, and that would help all of these women and would have stopped, you know, what was happening in Gosnell's facility.
So you think all the, frankly, the millions and millions of women who have chosen abortion chose it against their better judgment, against their will?
I think most women do not want to have abortions. I believe that even the abortion industry likes to say we want to keep abortion rare. Well, it's not rare in Pennsylvania. There's over 36,000. There's 15,000 in our own city. It's not a rare procedure, and I think most of those women really would, if you gave them the reality of what their unborn child looks like and you offer them the help and support they needed, many of those women would choose life. And I think that's what we should be trying to do.
Go ahead, Joe, and then I'll go to you, Carol.
One of the issues that came up at trial is Dr. Gosnell actually in their folders would pencil in repeat offender. And there were women who came to the clinic third, fourth. We heard as many as 8 abortions at Dr. Gosnell's clinic. I don't know whether I don't know how to interpret that except that the extreme poverty in that area, the lack of options they have, it's just astounding to
think
that
somebody. Well, actually, it's something like 40% of abortions are repeat abortions. Mm-hmm. So many women make the decision a second time, again, because some of the circumstances are the same. And so we need to help them find better circumstances so they're not making those choices.
Go ahead, Karen.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because so many people who oppose abortion are also militantly opposed to contraception, are militantly opposed to appropriate sex education. But I think even more interesting is our public policy in the United States around pregnancy is terrible. I've been to the Supreme Court on behalf of pregnant women who were arrested for being pregnant with untreated substance abuse. We provide so little support for women who wish to continue their pregnancy and have healthy pregnancies. For example, look at all of the opposition to the Obamacare, as it's called. Most people don't even know that in Pennsylvania, prenatal care is a pre-existing condition. Hmm. We had the Catholic Conference almost completely scuttle the Affordable Care Act based on abortion, even though it would be providing prenatal care.
Wait, hold on.
So the reality is workplace discrimination exists. Health insurance discrimination exists. There's little doubt that there are many women who have abortions because they do feel backed into an economic corner because we don't have a decent safety net in the United States. That's what actually a pro-choice position is, making sure that people do have the opportunity to make a decision so that they can have a healthy pregnancy and be able to provide for their child after the child is born.
And that's Carol Tracy, Executive Director of the Women's Law Project. Hold on. Also with us is Adele Finnegan, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia, and Joe Slobogin. He's a criminal courts reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's been covering the Kermit Gosnell abortion murder trial here in Philadelphia. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Adele, just picking up on something that Carol just said, and actually you said before the show began, is there, though, some common ground? If the idea is to support pregnant women in what they choose, does your organization support contraception, for instance?
Well, I just want to go back.
Sex education,
I want to go back and address the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference. I'm just going to. Those of us who oppose certain parts of Obamacare or certain parts of the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, some of that, the opposition is rooted in that we should not, those of us who disagree with abortion and understand that it takes an unborn child's life, we should not be forced to pay for that. That's what we're against. And the Catholic Church in this area particularly has done more for pregnant women and their unborn children and those suffering and living in poverty than probably any other organization in this area. Well, so I think that, and I understand why.
Let me ask you about contraception, though.
Sure.
I
understand why. We're not going to find middle ground on promoting contraception. In the state of Pennsylvania now, we have condoms in our schools. You can get free contraception at any of the Philadelphia medical clinics, and now we're going to have the morning after pill over the counter. I'm not sure how much more contraception we can be giving out, and we're still having women, and it is something, according to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, 54% of women who are entering an abortion facility were using the pill or a condom when they became pregnant.
But are
so
you
there
saying
is a fail? There is a problem with contraceptive use and its understanding.
But does your organization support, though, the effective use of contraception?
We don't support promoting contraception. No, we do not.
So you're opposed to contraception. Well, Carol, go ahead.
Well, I think that's probably the organization that has done more to prevent abortions in the United States over the years actually is Planned Parenthood, because of the family planning services they offer. And it's also interesting that, of course, is another issue related to Gosnell, because he did not provide contraceptive information or services where the appropriate abortion care facilities do, as a matter of course, help people understand about contraception and give them information and provide resources for them.
Go ahead, Joe. Give Joe, and then I do want to get to some of our callers.
Yeah, in Gosnell's case, I mean, for example, the 227 counts involving the 24-hour waiting period, there was the forms were sometimes filled out the same day they had the procedure, but there seems to be very little advice on contraception. How will you prevent your next pregnancy? What birth control do you intend to use? That almost was never offered, as far as we heard in court.
Let me get to.
I just want to point out that Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest abortion provider. They make a significant amount of money providing abortions, giving them to women, and they get a lot of taxpayer support. So,
but not for abortions.
And they provide.
They get taxpayer support. They get a lot of taxpayer support, a significant portion of it.
But not for
abortions.
And
they do the majority of the abortions in Pennsylvania.
Well, and I want to make
money is fungible, I would say, in response to what I think Carol's about to say.
And they provide considerably more information about family planning and preventing abortion through the use of family planning services. And they have been demonized in ways in the last couple of years that are just staggering. In the first 3 months of this year, something like 964 bills have been introduced in state legislatures throughout the country to limit access to abortion or contraception. You know, the truth of the matter is, I think that that when one looks at the issues related to contraception and sex education, opposition to abortion, I can only conclude that this is not, and the lack of real services for pregnant women and for young children. I mean, our safety net in this country, Philadelphia, there's a section in Philadelphia that is the fourth hungriest in the United States. We have the deepest poverty of any major city in the United States.
Sure, abortion and contraception don't fix poverty. So we want to help women, and we should work to help women.
But we're not doing it. And they don't want their children to be starving. They don't want their children to not be able
to have a perfect
facility.
A woman in poverty, abortion is not the answer for a woman in poverty. She deserves better than that. Her unborn child deserves more than that.
But
abortion
is not the answer. And she, not you, is the one to make that decision.
And when we give women the truthful information about what abortion really is and how gruesome the procedure is, whether it's at 8 weeks or at 8 months, many of those women will choose life.
But
and that's
many,
what I hope will happen out of the story is the reality of abortion
and many,
will be seen by our community. So we will understand
okay, I gotta jump
what
in
really
here.
Happens.
I got to jump in here only because I want to get Margo from West Philadelphia to join our conversation. Margo, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi
there.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I work at Penn. I'm an OR nurse, and I've walked by that office every day for about 7 years because I park in that neighborhood. There's a lot of other crime that goes on in that neighborhood. This isn't an isolated incident in terms of, you know, what it's like there. But I can tell you, and I am pro-choice and pro-contraception. I don't think the argument is about this for me. I can tell you that walking by that office, I never knew what it was, but it always gave me the sketchiest feeling. The building is a paint peeling mess. The letters on the side say something about a women's clinic, but it was never affiliated like every other office in West Philly, affiliated with Penn, with Drexel, with something. This is kind of a freestanding, very strange and creepy place to walk by. And I never knew what went on until this case broke through, but I can tell you that this definitely was a house of horrors, in my opinion.
Well, Margo,
I am pro-choice.
I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Joe, you've been covering this trial.
Yeah, there's no question that the, especially in the last few years that he operated the clinic, that it was going downhill rapidly for whatever reason. But Gosnell had his appeal, and the reason one of the other reasons, aside from inspections, that he did not get into trouble earlier is that in that neighborhood he was providing not just abortions, but he was providing medical care to a lot of poor people, children, adults, elderly people who had no insurance, no money, and it was common knowledge on the streets that if your kid got sick and you didn't have the money, Gosnell would treat your kids. And that's an extraordinary bond that builds up over time.
And we should add about a minute before a second break here, but this case essentially broke open when the feds raided the building because they were looking at the illegal sales of drugs.
Prescription pharmaceuticals, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And it was the investigators or the people that raided the facility that saw what was inside.
That's correct. It started out as a drug case and it will return to that in September when Dr. Gosnell goes on trial in federal court.
Well, let's take another short break. We'll get back to our conversation again, talking about the trial of Kermit Gosnell, Dr. Kermit Gosnell, an abortion provider on trial here in Philadelphia. The trial lasted 7 weeks. The jury is deliberating and has raised some questions about certainly how this clinic was able to operate for so many years and has fueled a debate about abortion around the country. Joe Slobogin has been covering this for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's a criminal courts reporter. Carol Tracy, executive director of the Women's Law Project, and Edel Finnegan, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Give us a call. Questions or comments, that phone number is 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Wistar Institute supports WHYY. I'm Dr. Russell Kaufman, president of the Wistar Institute. Melanoma is the deadliest skin cancer, taking the life of one person every hour in America. You can protect yourself this summer by using sunscreen and limiting your time in the sun. Scientists at Wistar's Melanoma Research Center are committed to understanding the causes and developing effective treatment for melanoma and better ways to prevent it. The Wistar Institute, today's discoveries, tomorrow's cures, online at wistar.org.
I'm Marty Moscoane. We hope to end this membership campaign very, very soon, and we can do that when you make a call right now at 1-888-345-9499 or pledge online at whyy.org. If you have been a supporter of this news and information service, we thank you for your contribution. We really do appreciate it. If you're new to WHYY, new to NPR, to Radio Times, and all the programs here, take that next step and become a supporter. Again, here's that phone number, 1-888-345-9499. Again, you can pledge online at whyy.org, and you can decide what this service is worth. It seems to me that now more than ever, we all need a place where we can hear a diversity of points of view, analysis, updates about important issues of the day, and of course, a chance to learn something new, and with Radio Times, a chance to be part of the conversation. So make a call right now, 1-888-345-9499, whyy.org. Thanks very much. This is Radio Times here on WHYY. I'm Marty Moscoane, talking with Edel Finnegan, Carol Tracy, and Joe Slobogin. And we are taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Mary from Overbrook to join us. Mary, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Mary. I'm actually also an operating room nurse. I'm from Philadelphia, from Overbrook, which is just down the street from Gosnell's Clinic. And so I've driven by it and been there many times, actually protesting and praying outside of the clinic because I'm pro-life. But I think it's interesting that the discussion about the horrors that went on in Gosnell's clinic, a lot of people are ignoring the fact that what he did isn't really that different than what, say, Leroy Carthart, who is a late-term abortionist who's hailed by the abortion industry, what he does in utero. I mean, to do a late-term abortion, you need to pull the baby apart limb for limb and then put that baby back together again on a sterile table so that you don't leave anything behind. And I think what we're forgetting when we talk about him as an outlier is that abortion does take the life of a child. If you have to pull this baby limb for limb, how is that different than snipping the baby's neck outside of the womb?
Well, let me toss that to Carol Tracy.
Dr. Carhart performs legal abortions. As I think we all know, late second trimester abortions are very rare. If it's a third trimester abortion, in almost all cases, it's because the woman's life is in danger. These are medical procedures, and they are difficult procedures. Very frequently, some of the later term abortions are women who or pregnancies where they're suffering very serious fetal anomalies, anencephalic pregnancies, for example, and there's no chance of survival. They are very frequently wanted pregnancies, and if the abortion is done safely, it can enable the mother to become pregnant again and hopefully with a pregnancy that is not so compromised. There are very few things that are sadder than the woman who wants to have a baby and the pregnancy is very seriously compromised with fetal anomalies.
We recognize that Dr. Carthart, a woman just died at his facility recently when she had her baby aborted there. So he has a history, just like most abortionists of his nature have a history.
Well, hold on. That again, you're making a very broad statement using an example of one or two doctors
Carhart,
here.
Dr. Carhart, yeah.
Exactly. But then
so he's a late-term abortionist, and they are notoriously – it's a dangerous procedure. It's not just that it's a rare procedure, and it is dangerous. And so Dr. Carthart has – a woman died at his facility recently. If you look at the videos from Live Action, and anyone wants to go to that website and learn about what's happening at abortion facilities across the country, you can see actual videotape of what is happening in abortion facilities. And again, women deserve better than this. And when someone does have a child and there is a fetal problem, we can find a way to protect both the baby and the mother. We do not need to offer women the death of their unborn child and tell her that choosing between her life and the life of her child, forcing her to make that choice, is such a violation of her. She deserves better than that, and we can find a way to find better solutions.
You constantly make the assumption that women don't know how to make these choices, that they don't have the moral framework in which to make these choices, and they do. They do it day in and day out. They think about this.
Yes, women
they
need to also be empowered with all the information.
Okay.
Is that why the abortion
empowered.
Industry is willing to speak to women about what their unborn child looks like at 6 or 8 weeks? Because often they don't want to be told. They do not want to share that information with women. Because when women see, because the women we talk with do not always hear that, because the abortion industry fights any of those regulations.
Well, hold on, 24-hour
waiting period.
Okay, hold on. Adele, hold on. Go ahead, Carol. And then, Joe, I actually want to put something to you.
You know, under the Abortion Control Act, there is informed consent. First of all medical procedures have informed consent, or they should, except you have someone like Gosnell, mm-hmm. who doesn't pay attention to any laws whatsoever. But there is informed consent, and there is information, and women can hear this. They are provided with this kind of information. The state has a specific mandated lecture that is given. I just really get offended.
What do you mean a lecture?
Hold on. If you don't mind, that people assume that women who get abortions, these 35 million women in the United States since Roe was decided, are hapless, stupid, immoral people upon whom a procedure is being done without their knowledge or choice. And that is just not the truth. And I really resent and am offended
by
that.
I'm sure that you are offended by that. But women should be empowered with all the information.
They are empowered with all of the information.
Information is hidden from them very often by the abortion industry.
Joe, let me go to you, because there was actually an abortion doctor that did testify at this trial, a Dr. Charles Benjamin, yes?
There were actually two.
There are two.
One is a suburban OBGYN who testified that she does abortions when it's medically necessary. The other one was Dr. Benjamin of Einstein. He has a practice where he said he does abortions at Einstein. He does abortions at Planned Parenthood and in his own clinic. And he described the procedure. He also said that he rarely he has very strict guidelines on when he will do abortions, and he doesn't even do them that late into the second trimester. It's interesting that a lot of the clinics that, for example, Karnamaya Mangar went to.
And this is the woman who
died of the overdose of Demerol. She went to she was 16 weeks pregnant, according to the trial testimony. She went to her local clinic in Virginia, was sent to two others. No one would do an abortion over 14 weeks.
She ended up at Gosnell's clinic.
She ended up at Gosnell's clinic.
But someone referred her to Gosnell's clinic, correct?
Yeah, a Washington, D.C. clinic referred her. They said, we won't do it, but we think there's a guy in Philadelphia.
So there
can
were
help you.
Abortion facilities and abortion companies referring to Kermit Gosnell when he was doing these horrible things, this practice. And we didn't know about it because we weren't doing inspections, which we need to be doing. And how would we know what's happening inside of every abortion facility if we're not going in and inspecting them all the time?
Well, go ahead, Carol.
Well,
and then
frankly,
I'll get to Renee on the phone. Yes, go ahead.
First of all, I want to remind everyone that the grand jury did find that the self-monitoring that was going on by Planned Parenthood and NAF was stricter than state regulations. But from the moment that the arrest was made, under existing authority, the state came in and inspected facilities in Pennsylvania. The 13 Planned Parenthood and NAF facilities are now licensed and certified under the new, even more stringent standards. But let's remember, if those strict standards had been put in place, Gosnell still would have ignored them. He ignored them. He didn't pay any attention to the law. That's the problem with him. Other providers do. Doctors' licenses and potential jail sentences are on the line. The violations are criminal. The violations of the Abortion Control Act are criminal in nature. That's why he's on trial for criminal counts.
Let me jump in here. I have Renee from North Philadelphia. Renee, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thank
Hi there.
You.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to talk about, nobody's mentioned the fact that a lot of these women were African-American, and also when they're combined with African-American and poor, some would say they're the undesirables of society. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get someone's take on whether or not that played into the fact that people were told about what was going on here. There were some complaints, but nobody really seemed interested in doing anything about what was going on.
Which allowed the clinic, as you're saying, Renee, to operate. Do you think there's some truth to that, Adele? That because the clients were poor, minority, that people looked the other way?
I think the DA said that. And I think the abortion industry preys on the black community. They have a much higher rate of abortion. I think that's very sad. And we can find better solutions for people. And just to go back to Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation, they do not police themselves. They knew about Gosnell, and they didn't report it. So the people who knew how bad it was, who said they're about protecting women, did not actually report him. They should have been, National Abortion Federation should have been standing with us on Saturdays telling women, don't go into this place. It's a disgusting clinic. You will be hurt inside of here. They never did that. In fact, all one of them had to do was come up and tell one of us, and we would have tried to get something done there. But that's not what happened. You kept it to yourself because that's what the abortion industry does.
No, hold on. I think it's a fair criticism, but go ahead.
And one of the major problems that we had in Pennsylvania that has been corrected is the Pennsylvania Department of Health would not accept third-party reports. Many times reports were attempted to be made. Mm-hmm. And in order for a complaint by the individual to be taken, that individual had to go to Harrisburg herself to file the complaint.
Hold on.
So that all of those issues have been corrected. There were many, many complaints. There were many lawsuits filed against him. Why the bureaucracy in Pennsylvania, including under the Casey administration, didn't respond, I don't know.
Go ahead, Joe, and then I do want to get to a caller. And we'll
to
get
respond
you
to Renee,
as well.
Certainly a majority probably of Dr. Gosnell's patients were African American, but he did have a significant number of white patients come to him for abortions. And that was one of the things that came out of the trial, that there was a separate room for, quote, white girls upstairs. African-American Asian women had their abortions downstairs. And he told his staff, he said, look, that's just the way of the world.
Hmm. Let me get Susie from Fort Washington to join us on Radio Times. Susie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a private psychologist in Fort Washington, and I just wanted to give the perspective and ask everyone to increase their sensitivity for women who forget about the contraception and planning and education, but women who experience rape, women who have been violated by uncles, cousins, fathers, women who are traumatized by their pregnancy. And I just think it's really important to remember them.
Well, Susie, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Would you agree with that, Adele? It's important to remember, I guess,
to be sensitive to women.
The full lives, and the fact that unfortunately, it's true for men. But since we're talking about an abortion clinic, that it's also true for a number of women, especially poor women whose lives are often very difficult.
Yes, and we, like I said earlier, we have to try to find help for those women, and we have to empower them with the information they need so they can make a healthy decision. And just right now, actually, currently, the Department of Health, If a woman has a complaint, they will investigate her complaint. But that's a lot to put on a woman who is in certain situations. So if you're suffering in poverty or something like that, you may not be able to file the complaint. You may not know what to do. And really, it's up to the state to strictly enforce the regulations that are there right now. And we have to continue to push for even more regulation for the pro-life community until the unborn child is protected in law, until women are protected from the abortion industry. And that's what we these small steps will get us to the ultimate goal of restoring human dignity to the unborn child and to their mothers.
But do you see any role for contraception in that argument? The idea that
I understand why people in the Gosnell story want to deflect and talk about contraception policy and contraceptive policy.
Well, the idea of abortion prevention.
But I'm saying people want to deflect from that because of the horror and the public relations nightmare that is the Gosnell story. So no, we do not advocate for contraception. And again, I will go back to the fact that we have contraception readily available. We have condoms being given out in our schools. You can go to any free clinic in Philadelphia. coffee and you can get contraception. Mm-hmm. We still have a high abortion rate. We still have a high failure rate with contraception. And when people talk about finding common ground, I think the common ground should be found on the humanity of the unborn child and the damaging effects of abortion on women. Well, that's where pro-choice and pro-life groups should be able to find common ground, that a life begins at conception, and then let's move on from there. Because we admit that, we're not going to get very far.
And I know Carol Tracy wants to respond to that. Just a quick ID. I'm Marty Moscow, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Life beginning at conception?
No. Listen, issues around abortion are very complicated issues for women. We understand that. Women understand that. Women are the ones who are best able to decide whether or not they can bear a child and that they can raise a child. That decision needs to be with them. They don't need someone on the outside, quote, protecting them. They can make these choices themselves along with appropriate medical providers. And women always have. I actually don't think that Gosnell is a PR nightmare for the pro-choice community. I think Gosnell represents the back alley abortions, what abortion was like before Roe, and I think it gives us very clear information about what the future will be like if Roe is overturned. And that's the reality. Mm. We don't have sex education. Why do
we
kids
have
not
sex
have
education?
Well, hold on.
We have quite a bit of it.
And just very quickly, because I want to end with Joe. No, that's all right. That's right. Because I'm watching the clock, just finish your point there, Carol.
That the point is that with the abstinence-only education that is so prevalent, that even if condoms are provided, we do not have the kind of curriculums in schools we need to help people understand how to use contraception and to use it and to have access mm-hmm. to it. And to the point that the caller just made, for the woman who is a victim or the girl who is a victim of rape or incest, to make her, which the pro-life movement wants to do, to make her carry a pregnancy to term that's a result of rape is really very unfair, and it's gruesome. And it's, of course, as we know, some of our legislators only want any exceptions made when it's legitimate rape.
Well, and Joe, I'm going to give you the last word here, only because we're practically out of time here. But looking ahead to the trial, the jury is deliberating. They've been looking at the O'Neill person who's been on trial
The unlicensed doctor who worked in the clinic. It's a long verdict form. Dr. O'Neill's counts are first on the verdict form, and they are being meticulous about looking for documents, medical charts that deal with the counts against her. If that method goes on, I think we're in for a longer period of deliberations until at least next week sometime.
And that's Joe Slobogin, and he's a criminal courts reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thank you for joining us. Carol
Thank
Tracy,
you.
Executive Director of the Women's Law Project. Thank you, Carol, as well. And Eden Finnegan, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us on Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program. I'm Marty Moscow. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour, but stay with us. We'll be right back.